This is the non-commercial stakeholder group in CSG, 1330 to 1530, Tuesday, July 16th, in room 3C. Testing 1, 2.
Go ahead and accept that. Yeah, you can mute yourself.
Because I keep wanting to do a video chat.
I'm not sure. Now, get add the little bubble with a plus in it. Add people at the bottom. And find your Verizon one. Should be in there, but yeah. Toll.
Call bridge?
Either one's fine. The toll bridge, I think, is preferable. Because there's a charge for it. It's more stable.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I need to do the toll bridge?
It's better, but I think either, that's what it is for a Digo. I assume it's the same.
Oh, no, no. Corey said not to do the toll because it was cheaper, and so they do lower quality.
They told us to do the toll.
Please obey them.
I have the opposite information.
I'm going to the hill.
So you should be able to just...
Copy that. You want to schedule it? Okay, when you're back.
Welcome to the conference calling center. Please have your passcode and conference leader's name available, and a coordinator will assist you momentarily.
I'm getting a really bad echo. I need to mute one.
You need to mute your laptop.
No,
go to your machine. Go to your Skype. And then mute yourself. That should cure it.
Welcome to the conference calling center. Please have your passcode and conference leader's name available, and a coordinator will assist you momentarily.
Thank you for calling. May I take your passcode, please? Hello? Sorry, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
You can unmute.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Is that Steve?
This is Josh.
Hi, Josh. And what's the passcode, Josh?
NCSG1889158.
I only see NCSG. I don't see the number.
Oh, it's just NCSG, sorry.
Yep, that's fine. What's your last name, Josh?
Balch, B-A-U-L-C-H.
Thank you. I'll just join you now with an open line.
Thank you.
And I skipped the same deal on the Adobe ad.
Test 1, 2.
Okay, this is Avery Doria sitting in for Robin Gross as the chair of this meeting. I apologize to you all for not having Robin here as opposed to me, but I did bring some Rhode Island saltwater taffy to pass around, so just to make up for the fact that it's me and not Robin, so please, you can open it up and start. Huh?
It's a pretty...
As somebody said, we give food to people to help them be calm. So,
bribe with treats.
So anyhow, we're starting, even though not everyone is here yet, but it's already 11 minutes after the appointed time. So let me first read through the agenda and see if we've got anything to add to the agenda. One thing I have to remind people of is, of course, when we speak, we have to give our names first. So I think I gave my name, but again, it's Avery. So the first thing we have here is report from constituencies. I see NCUC chair. I'm not sure that I see MPOC chair. You're MPOC chair.
No.
Okay.
No,
She's coming. Okay. And among one issue that was brought out that we needed to put under this one, I don't know if NPOC had it on its particular agenda, was the issue of NPOC representation on NAMCOM. Then there's the policy issues. Need an update from the NCSG Policy Committee meeting. And then other issues that, if they haven't already been covered by the NCSG Policy Committee, we needed to talk about were discuss the downgrading of rights to benefits in the RAA. Obviously, it's a done deal, and I'm not sure there's anything that can be done about it other than perhaps, I don't know. That's the topic. But the RAA has obviously already been signed as real, and it has benefits, not rights, and does that matter? Then there's discuss the letter relating to GAC overreach that's being worked on and has been discussed somewhat on the NCSG list that's being put forward by some people in the IPC who have actually come and asked the NCSG for support. Then there's the discussion of how to proceed with the expert working group draft evaluation. There's certainly a lot of issues in there that should be of interest to us, so want to make sure that we've got something in progress to deal with that. In terms of the policy issues and the upgrade from NCSG Policy Committee, as the alternate chair of the policy group, I apologize for not having been at the policy committee meeting because I was doing ATRT 2. Yes?
I chaired the policy meeting and I just...
Okay, we'll get back to it. I'm just going through the agenda now.
Yep, and I just want to, on the agenda, the item 4, the preparation for the NCSG discussion. We discussed that in a fair bit of detail, so
okay.
We already have done a fair bit of preliminary work on the items to discuss with the board.
Fantastic. So perhaps what we could do with that is have an update from the policy committee, except for those items, and then go through those items individually when we get to that. Would that work? Or was there nothing else discussed during the policy committee? Microphone.
That and we discussed
microphone and name, right. Please.
Sorry, David Cake. We went mostly at the policy committee meeting. We discussed the items to be discussed with the board and with some initial ideas about who might tackle that item. And I think we reordered them and we decided we weren't quite so enthusiastic about some of them. But of course, we can reopen that here with the whole. With a broader representation from the stakeholder group, and we discussed the items on the GNSO Council agenda for Wednesday. So,
okay. So, when we're doing 2A, we could certainly go through the GNSO Council items and any others, but then we can just have a general discussion on the Board of Directors as our last thing so that it remains fresh in our minds. Yes, please.
Madam Chair, Rob Hogarth, ICANN staff. I don't know if it's appropriate to ask the question or if you have any other business piece for your agenda. There was one item I wanted to raise to the group to get some perspective on.
You're right. Thank you. Item 5 should be any other business. And at that point, so perhaps you want to just can you give us a title of the item?
Yeah, it's a potential civil society roundtable with senior ICANN executives.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, then it looks like we have a duplicate item here, which was the request to nominating committee for more equitable representation, but we'll have taken that hopefully up under 1A. And then we go into preparation for the NCSG discussion with ICANN Board of Directors. I actually would recommend that in slot 3, we put the any other business item on the roundtable so that basically the last thing we do is preparation for the NCSG discussion as we're walking in there. And so we had, I guess, A through F. We had preserving commitment to bottom-up community-led model. We had... I should really have this in front of me since I can't really read it from there. We had handling of the NCSG request for reconsideration. We had development of an inclusive outreach strategy, scaling participation in ICANN. We had GNSO review restructuring. We had concern over trend of policy movements towards censorship, and we had the Article 29 Working Party letter. We've added one thing to it, and I've put it in slot three, which is the discussion of the roundtable. Any other items that we're going to need on this agenda? No, in which case we probably should go with that agenda. And probably should go around the table, although I always just having people give their names and affiliation, etc. So starting at that end, please.
Klaus Stoll in POC.
Nuno Garcia, NCUC.
Flavio Wagner, NCUC and Brazil Internet Steering Committee.
João Carlos Caribe, Brazil, NCUC and Movimento Mega Activist.
Carlos Afonso from CGIBR and the Instituto NOPEF, a member of the Executive Committee of NCUC.
Bill Drake, University of Zurich, Chair of NCUC.
David Cake, NCSG, GNSO Councillor, NCUC member and Chair of Electronic Frontiers Australia.
Rafik Damak, NCUC member and NOMCOM member.
Hi, I'm Seth Bouvier. I work for the Human Rights Bureau of the U.S. State Department as a friendly interloper here.
A welcome guest.
Tapani Tarvainen from Electronic Frontier Finland and Executive Committee of the NCUC.
Mark Raquel, NTSG and representing Church of Reality.
Rudy Vansnik, Policy Chair, NPOC, and also active as a board member of the ISOC Board of Trustees.
Translated Lelegi, Secretary NPOC, and from the Gambia YMCA. Thank you.
Naro Galilean, I'm a newcomer, aspiring member, so I'm just here to listen.
Welcome. And we have Rob from ICANN staff, who already introduced himself earlier. Anyone else?
I'm Kem Weke, Digital Sense Africa. I represent Digital Sense Africa Media. I'm from Nigeria. Just observing.
Thank you and welcome. And remotely, we have Edward Morris, Jorge Amodio, Josh, and Peter Green. And did any one of you want to say anything in your own introduction?
Josh's stuff.
No? Okay.
Josh's stuff. Josh's stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's why I didn't have a last name. Okay, and as I said, I'm Avri Dori. I'm a member of the NCUC. I'm a GNSO person on the ATRT2, and I'm the alternate chair of the NCSG Policy Committee. So, now, moving on to report from constituencies, I guess since... Are we still waiting for the chair of MPOC, or... Should I have NCUC go first, or should I have MPOC go first?
I would say I give the priority to NCUC as we are waiting for our chair.
Okay.
And it is a point on which she has been involved.
Great. Okay, thank you. So, Bill, please.
Good afternoon. Updating on just the today, am I, or recent events?
I guess updating on today and updating on anything that you believe the NCSG should be updated on.
Okay. Hello, NCSG. I'll just stick to Durban. Prior to the IGF, the ICANN meeting's commencement. We had for 3.5 days a African school on internet governance that was organized by the Association for Progressive Communication and the NEPAD. NCUC played an active role in it. About eight NCUC members participated as faculty members, speakers, whatever. Avery played a central role in shaping the program with APC. We held a NCUC outreach workshop in the context of that event that went very well and was very well received by the group as well as a reception. Then this, during the ICANN meeting itself, we had an executive committee meeting the other day that a few of us participated in to sort out some administrative issues. And then this morning, for 3.5 hours, we had constituency day meeting, during which time we had quite a good turnout. We counted 1.40 people in the room, a substantial number of them being African colleagues, people from the many people who had been in the Fellows Program. This morning I spoke to the Fellows Program, as well as some people from the African School of Internet Governance, so it was great to have new folks around. We had a discussion for about an hour about African perspectives on internet governance, and got a lot of very interesting feedback on the table. We also had a meeting with the ATRT 2 team to go over their the questions that they're posing to the community, and we had a meeting for about 45 minutes with two GAC vice chairs who came to sort of establish a bit of a working relationship between NCUC and the GAC. And we handled a number of other local administrative operational things, including launching a new website and so on. So it was it's been a busy period thus far. And tomorrow we have a workshop that we're doing at 1:30 to 3 p.m. on closed generic TLDs, which should be fairly controversial and lively given what's coming out of the GAC today and other fun things. So we're very busy. And that's my report for what we're up to here.
Thank you. Any questions for Bill? Nope. Okay. Next is the MPOC. I'd like to ask, since a bunch of people, I think mostly MPOC, came in after we did the walk around of name and such, if you'd be willing to, those of you that just walked in, if you'd be willing to go through. And I guess, Wolfgang, you weren't here when we said hello and who we were, so if you could start, and then we'll go down. Those of you that weren't here when we did it last time, please do it this time. If it was just one person, I wouldn't bother, but it was a whole bunch.
Okay, my name is Wolfgang Kleinwächter. I'm from the University of Aarhus. I'm a member of the NCUC and one of the counselors on the non-commercial stakeholder group in the GNSO Council.
Thank you. My name is Marie-Laure Lemineur, chair of MPOC. Apologies for walking late, but we were having finishing a meeting with the expert working group sharing privacy issue concerns, so we thought we had to dedicate some time to it because it was very important. So.
St. Joseph Nanan, Vice Chair and Paul.
My name is Magali Pazello. I'm from Brazil, NCUC member, and I am one of the GNSO counselors for NCSG.
Thank you. One of the things I wanted to point out is we're passing around some Rhode Island saltwater taffy. It's just to sweeten up the room, so if it'll continue passing around. If you wonder why the box comes by. So now to your report.
Very well. Let me see. I'm supposed to do a summarized report of
basically
what we've been doing this week?
This week or whatever you actually believe that the NCSG would benefit from knowing about. In other words, it's your report to report whatever you think is worth reporting.
Thank you. I haven't had that much time to organize my thoughts, but I'll try to give you the fullest report I can. If I forget something, my colleagues can help me. Basically, same as all of us, we've been very busy. We started last week. Originally, we had programmed we had planned to have a one-day stand alone event many months ago, but we realized that ISOC was doing one-day stand-up, day-and-a-half event, so we decided not to compete with them. At the end of the day, it wouldn't have made sense. So what we did is we cancelled the workshop we wanted to organize, the one-day workshop, which was about the role of civil society within the DNS in Africa. That was an initiative of Poncelet. I think Poncelet is over here. And we actually requested ISOC if we could have a couple of slots so that we could speak within their event. And that has been done. Poncelet represented NPOC during the DNS activity that ISOC organized. And what we're going to do is rather have in Buenos Aires, in Argentina, we're going to actually organize a one-day event, a one-day event with LAC-TLD, ISOC Latin America, who else? With the LACNIC and with the sponsoring of PIR. And we're still working out on the details, but we have had a very productive first meeting a couple of days ago, and things are rolling, and we basically have to sit down and write down the proposal and think about the details. And other than that, I myself have been acting as a temporary alternate for Wendy Seltzer, who is a GNSO counselor, so I've been busy attending the GNSO meeting and activities acting as an NPOC chair. This morning, we've had like a couple of working sessions as an executive committee. This morning we had a meeting with the ATRT2 team. It was a very interesting meeting. We had the opportunity to provide some comments since we did not submit any specific NPOC comment during the public comment period. We did submit an NCSG statement, but we did not have a chance. We already discussed this over the email. So it was an opportunity for us to interact on a one-to-one basis with them. Basically, since 9 o'clock, we've been locked up in the room in another room, discussing in-house details, because this is the first time we are meeting as a new executive committee. Last week, some of you might not know that we just went through a process of elections of the new executive committee, and the results were made official last Wednesday. Basically, most of us were on the plane already traveling here. So this is the first time we're actually meeting as after the elections, and we had to do a lot of in-house discussions, reviewing aspects that have to do with vacant positions within the executive committee, financial reports, NPOC website. Actually, I don't know whether you realize it and you're aware of it, but our website has been how do you call it? Defaced by a terrorist group. Apparently, there is a if you open the www.npoc.org, there is a message from an Islamist group. It's a black screen. It's just amazing. It happened today. So
action has been taken to take it off.
Yes. It's just today, and coincidentally, we are in the process. Can you see it? It's gone. Oh yes, you can see it. Yeah. It's really strange.
Action is underway, as the npoc.org domain name was not really in our hands, but was administered by, if I'm not wrong, American organization. And we proceeded doing the transfer of the domain name to us in a correct way, so that we would be able to handle. And I have taken action The moment I saw it, I've taken action and requested to take off the website so that it cannot be on the visual in the world. So action is taken, and normally in a few hours it should be done. As it is in the States, it's a bit early for them to act at midnight.
Yes, because when we were aware of that, it was very early today, and everybody was asleep over there. So anyway, within... Yes?
Absolutely no idea what this is about, or who, or what, or...
Was it the original American college, the original MPOC group that still had the website, or... Yeah.
And what is funny, well, funny in that sense, is that we are right now, within the next 2 or 3 days, we were going to transfer the name to Rudy's company, I believe, in Belgium, because that was, I mean, the time to do it. And so this is very interesting what is happening right now. But this is going to be fixed, and once we secure and stabilize the website, we are going to redesign it, and within in the near future, we will be able to have a new website and more updated in a more regularly way. We also discussed this morning charter review processes. We do feel there is need for to review our charter, and at some point we want to discuss with you the possibility of reviewing the NCSG charter, at least some of the articles in it. We do feel that there is a need to sit down and discuss this issue. Whenever we can do it. We also discussed NPOC participation in the executive committee, who is going to be in the name of NPOC, and the policy committee, the finance committee. There are so many issues that we have to discuss, and it's not the right place in all the moment, but I'm just mentioning it. I'm aware that we're not going to solve all this in here, obviously. We've been this morning... basically discussing also how we are going to get, I mean, our goals and strategic planning within for the next year, fundraising issues, and some financial issues that we have to resolve with the ICANN director of the financial department, that we need to sit down with him. And cross-constituency collaboration and a bunch of all other in-house matters. And and finally, we ended up with a meeting with the expert working group. Yesterday, I approached them last-minute request, and I felt that it was very necessary to sit down with them and express. Corresponded with Kathy, and because we do share the same concerns about the expert working group reports, and I've been in touch with her for the last 2 or 3 days, and I submitted a bunch of questions, and we'll continue doing it through the public, I mean the comments, writing comments, and coordinating with Kathy. Yes?
Specified working group.
The expert working group is the working group about the new directory services. Yes, and we'll be attending others. We attended the strategic planning session, and most of us did. And tomorrow, I think we'll show up at the trademark clearinghouse session too. I talked to Kathy about this. I don't know if I missed something that Sintra, Klaus, or Rudy thinks should be said. Oh, Klaus, yes. Oh, yes, I forgot to mention the session.
I would like to inform you that over the last few months we were busy refining our policies, especially and in the area of the iInform initiatives. The documents are now available. We have spent this week talking to different organizations and representatives regarding this initiative. I'm extremely grateful that so far everybody seems to be very supportive, and we are basically awaiting now clearance for by tomorrow 2 o'clock, if we will be able to have some major events in Brussels in the next in the next few weeks, and at Bali, and the event in Buenos Aires basically will be on the topic of which are laid out in the iInform initiative. So we hope that we can really make some policy and contributions in that field now actively, and I'm really looking forward to get this to be able now to finish the conceptual phase of this initiative and to going into the implementation phase. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for MPOC? Yes, I got one, and then.
Yeah, I just want to inform you that MPOC.
Name first, please.
My name is Wolfgang Kleinwächter. I just wanted to inform you that npoc.com is for sale for $9,635.
Thank you, Wolfgang. You guys are getting famous fast.
Can Rafik. I go around with my hat? Please give generously.
That's Rafik Damak. Just a question. You mentioned that you have some issues, discussion about the NCG Executive Committee and Policy Committee, what kind of issue that was raised, and so just to be...
No, it wasn't an issue. It's the just that we do have, according to the Charter, there are NPOC representatives on those committees. I'm sorry, I didn't express myself properly. So we just spoke of who should go and to which committee. That was the, and that we have to, formalize this. That was just something we had to.
So going on the agenda, then I had stuck the issue of MPOC representation on NAMCOM. Actually, it fell in two places, and so I've got something else now in slot C. But on the issue of the MPOC representation on NAMCOM, it actually shocks me that MPOC has been in existence now for close to 2 years, and the bylaws changed to give MPOC its constituency seat on NAMCOM has not yet been resolved, because I guess they said, well, we have to rethink the whole NAMCOM thing. But in the meantime, it does seem like the pattern should have been followed. Now, we had discussed in the NCSG the notion of sending a letter that basically said, okay, you know, we're shocked that you haven't done it yet, but since you haven't done it yet, there is a seat for the board to put on an educational representative that they have not filled. So our suggestion was that they put an educational representative, but chosen by MPOC, on that seat and sort of fulfill the two functions of giving MPOC a voice in NAMCOM and fulfilling the educational. So it's not really a misuse of the seat. It's a particular way of using the seat in this one instance, giving us another year to get that. I believe that letter has been sent by Robin. So I wanted to make sure that was on the record, and what I wanted to figure out is, and what's next, so that we don't find ourselves here next year going, oops, they haven't done it yet, and another year has gone by. So I'd like to know what we need to do, and especially what NCSG needs to do to support you in getting that done, since it's your issue, but it's our issue.
Thank you very much, Avery. And I know you've been active with this issue, and I want to thank you for that. We've been discussing this morning. It's something I forgot to mention previously. Robin actually sent the letter yesterday. I saw it last night, which is perfect. Basically, I don't know how long the board usually takes to answer this kind of letters, if it's with talking about weeks or months, I have no idea. I don't know whether there is like a pattern or it's really something subjective. But anyway, what we agreed this morning, we discussed the issue, and we agreed that basically what's next is, number one, wait for the board to respond, and number two, wait for the NAMCOM in September, I believe, the NAMCOM will officialize some of the positions, right, if I'm not mistaken. So these are two parallel processes, and according to the results, to the board response and what will happen with the NAMCOM, we can decide what will be the next step. Actually, I might mention that yesterday I had a conversation with a board member, and informally I said, you're going to receive a letter from Robin. And he said, the reaction was, well, I'm not sure. I have the idea that this educational seat was, we had decided that there was no need for it, but I'm not sure it's a permanent thing or a provisional thing. That was the answer.
Just from a personal point of view, since they can't add a seat to the bylaws without changing the bylaws, I doubt that they can cancel a seat from the bylaws without changing
the bylaws. I'm the one who is using the word cancel, but it wasn't the proper word. Because it was in French.
They had decided not to do it. But that's another decision that they can remake, having gotten a request from us. They certainly haven't canceled the seat. It remains an unfilled seat. Okay, anyone else want to comment on this? So if I'm understanding, we will wait. But in any case, and we should probably talk more about this on the list, this is not a permanent solution. Even if we succeed this year, there's still a necessity. I also understand that NomCom in its entirety may be under review, and we need to fit it into that. But I just want to caution you to keep pinging us, because we do not want to let another year go by without this getting a proper treatment.
We thank you. We actually do have a very clear idea that would be, if it comes out, it would be a provisional, temporary solution, and that we do have the right as a community group to have a permanent seat and an NPOC seat. So it's very clear to us.
Constituencies at the moment have seats on NomCom, except for the business constituency that gets two. Yes, Rudy, you wanted to comment. Give name, please.
Yes, Rudy Van Sneek. I think it's important that we have to keep in mind also that with the new GTLD program being launched, that there will be probably some other requests coming for NomCom seats. And I think that we have to be careful and look forward how that could fit in the new concept, in order to avoid that at the end the civil society and the individual users are not kept anymore in the perspective of participation, as Fadi is requesting, a cross multi-stakeholder process. So I think it's important that NCSG keeps in the agenda how to look forward when this new NomCom concept would pop up, and I think it's coming soon.
Thank you. Rafiq.
Just being in the NomCom, we are really minority. That's, I am the only non-commercial there, and the rest are commercial. So, we need to think about the whole picture for the future, but I think at least for next year to have more support can be helpful.
Thank you. Any more on this topic before we move on? Okay. On the next one is policy issues. Now, we already had a quick update from NCSG policy in terms of the general, and what we decided was that while they already started discussing the board issues, we'd get to that when we got to that, but that there were also issues in terms of the GNSO agenda from this week that you covered. So if it's okay with you, I'd ask you to sort of cover those issues and any issues other than the board specific ones.
I'm trying to remember exactly what we covered, but we talked in particular about the issues coming up facing the GNSO. I think most of them most of the issues facing the GNSO this week are relatively uncontroversial, not just to us but to pretty much everybody. Including the policy versus implementation working group, which the charter seems to meet with general approval. We will be voting in favour of that. There's a call for letters to be sent by the GNSO in support of the JIG,
the joint IDN group,
and to say a lot of the linguistic variant IDNs to be treated as a serious policy issue by the board. We are going to support that. The one that's going to be, it seems to be controversial but not within NCSG, is the, or at least has some parts of the GNSO seem to be worked up about it, is this letter, proposed letter that the motion that the GNSO send a letter to the board asking for a bylaws change that would require the board to basically to take GNSO advice, similarly to GAC advice, to we should say the board can ignore it, but they well the board can disagree with it and do something else, but they have to at least tell the GNSO, make the effort to tell the GNSO why. Whether that will actually end up being voted on this week or will be deferred, we're not sure. There may be some talk around that, but the general gist of it is that the NCSG, at least, we all support it. We would certainly welcome any input on that from anyone who wasn't at the policy meeting, but that pretty much covers it for GNSO business. I think there are a couple of other motions, but they're sort of supporting charter work, you know, working group work that was already done and are pretty uncontroversial. So,
quick question. So on the deferral of the one that might be deferred, of that letter, are we deferring it or we're going to...
Oh, no, that has just been mooted, that it may be deferred. I don't think there's any actual... plan more. There have been a lot of concerns raised about its precise wording. So, if the there may be groups that say, well, if we change the wording, then perhaps we should have a little bit more time to think about it.
Okay,
but we in CSG, I think we find the current wording acceptable, so we will be quite happy to vote on it at this meeting.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on any of the GNSO council issues? Yes, Rudy.
Yes, maybe an item, Rudy Vansnik, an item to add is we had this meeting yesterday very shortly about the question that came from the GAC to the GNSO about the IGO and the INGO.
It's the last, it's number F at the bottom.
No, it's the other one about... The there were four alternatives for the acronyms and the protection of the organizational name. So I think it's
is that on the GNSO Council for this week? I don't believe so. Is it?
No, I don't think so. We had a report on it and we discussed it, but I don't think it will be in our formal agenda this week.
Although that work is up for review at the moment, the initial report is up for review, so it's definitely something we should do something about. More than keep an eye on, we should produce a comment on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully there will be people to produce a comment on it. As a member of the IGO and INGO working group, I tend to not think of myself as the one that should write the comment for us, because I have been commenting incessantly inside the working group. So I'm hoping that we, as a stakeholder group, can have a wider view.
We do have a pamphlet on this working group, I do understand.
Yes, I will say I'm Pons, sorry for the record, Pons Leti Lilleji and Pok. I called in. I followed the threads of the meeting yesterday because I had to be at the meeting strategic working group meetings. But I'll be sending out my comments to the policy discussion group later on, since I'm on that mailing list. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I'm really hoping, and this is me speaking in the role of, what did we call it? Alternate chair of the policy committee, is that we get more active. We've sort of gotten semi-active in terms of responding to comments, but sometimes by the time we actually catch our breath, the 3 weeks have gone. One of the ways that we've worked on that, and I suggest it to all of you, is that if you've got an individual comment to make on anything that is out for review, make your individual comment. And what the policy committee can then do, in fact, we've done it several times, is then we can review your comment during that second period, the review period. Because the way the comment period is set up is initial comments and then comments upon the comments. responses to comments. And I know, and I've done this sometimes because I procrastinated until the very end, and even as a member of the policy committee, didn't have time to get the policy committee to review my comments. I sent them in at the last hour. Then I sent a note to the policy committee saying, I've made personal comments, please review them and either endorse or, you know, contravene, contradict, change, add stuff. So I suggest to all of you that if you find yourself having to comment on something, get your comment in. We can always add more comment to it later. Don't necessarily wait for a process, because with 3 weeks, there isn't generally a lot of room to get a process. But once somebody has sent a comment, it's really quite easy to then endorse or modify, amplify, what have you. Okay, on policy, so anything more on the policy committee update? If not, moving on to the next one, which was the RAA, the registrar agreement. And there had been a rights and responsibilities section in that. We had contributed a fairly well-developed, I think, a fairly mature suggestion on rights and responsibilities. And then I don't know if any of you have heard anything from the black box of how this changed, but all of a sudden we see the new RAA ready to be signed, just speaking about benefits and no rights and responsibilities. So I don't think there's anything we could do to change the RAA. That's done. Is there anything else we want to do? Is there anything within the ICANN process of sending letters to somebody who won't read them that we want to do? Or is there anything more public we want to do? Any circle ID? Anything wider? Is there any response we should be making to this? Or should we just accept that what's past is past and move on? Yes, Wolfgang.
I'm not 100% sure what is the situation now. In the Article 29 Working Part letter, they made reference to the so-called waiver and said it's a step in the right direction, but it's not enough. Probably somebody can clarify, is the waiver in the existing RAA included? And then it would be a question, you know, how to practice this. And another thing is, we have the e-expert working group. And my question is, this is another thing, that the policy is implemented before the working group comes with probably a new recommendations. And this is also an open question, you know. Are there already plans, you know, how the recommendations from this working group will be implemented? Will there be a revision of the existing RAAs, or is it just, okay, thank you for the recommendation and we have now to fix the RAAs? Is there any procedure in place? Or so these are two questions. One is the waiver in? And then the question is how this is implemented and practiced. And number two is what will be, when the recommendations from the working group come, how we can make this as consistent as possible with the agreements which has been now signed.
Thank you. Sintra.
Thank you. Sintra Suknanan. I had raised in the meeting that we just had with the Next Generation Registration Directory Service Expert Working Group, the fact that just because they are proposing an aggregated database of who is registrant data does not mean that the bar should be lowered for registrars. It means, in fact, that they should try to raise the bar by ensuring that the data is really maintained in the same manner. So I think that's a recommendation. This is not just to punt the ball to somebody else or to a separate database, but it means that there must be a complementary service provided by the registrars.
Okay, yes, and in fact, one of the things that I would think of anything that comes out of the expert working group with the ARDS is something that's also going to take several years to actually be completed. I know the IETF is still working on the protocols that would support the ARDS type of functionality, et cetera. So that's still a longer term solution. And in fact, you know, how to proceed with the EWG draft for saying, but this is again EU law. It is not quite the same as a legal. Given a judgment to a registrar saying you have breached. And it's not until there is a legal authority that has actually indicated the breach that that waiver becomes viable. In other words, you get a waiver because you have legally been told you did something wrong. So Article 29 saying, in theory, it is wrong and they shouldn't do it, is sort of a priori the actual having a legal authority. The waiver is initiated by a legal authority saying you've done something wrong. And I've got, well, did you move to the, was your moving to the table an act of raising your hand or... Yes.
And then, again, for clarification, okay. That means under this system which is now in place, you push registrars in Europe to provoke a court action to get the waiver.
That's the way the law works in America.
So that means you push hundreds of registrars into a procedure where they really...
Yes.
who covers all the costs which are involved with this?
I would assume the registrar.
Well, I think that's a good question.
But one of the things... One of the things that, as someone who's been rather active in making noise about this for a while, is I've been begging some European to actually take them to court so that we could kick in the process, but no one has. No one has complained against their registrar to the data protection authorities in Europe yet, saying, hey, wait a second, what you're doing with my data is against European law. I've been sitting in committees for years saying, why has no one sued their registrar yet? Is anyone willing to sue their registrar yet? But of course, you know, I'm not a European. But indeed, in many laws, you don't kick in a review of the law until somebody's been brave enough to break the law. Yes.
Rudy Vansnick for Transcript. I'm just wondering if we would not write a letter to board that we recognize that they want to give benefits, but the benefit is not something you can put in a law. The benefit is most of the time a financial rewarding, but it doesn't give you a right. And I think we have to underline that we see this as not being a right, but something in favor. And that is not enough to cover, as Wolfgang was saying, cover cost when you have to go to court. Because what they try to do in this way is that by not having the right, you cannot go to the court. You have to do it on your own and pay. And that's not what we are looking at, I thought.
Okay, time check, first of all, our first hour is gone. We have more time, but I just want to give... Now, one other thing that I want to suggest and I want to put on the table and then is the reason the waiver exists is because the GNSO indeed passed a resolution, a recommendation many years ago. And in fact, I think it was the first recommendation I ever voted on when I was a NOMCOM GNSO member, was that basically prompted this. But the way it came out was this requiring a breach to kick in the waiver. One thing that we could perhaps look at is putting a motion on the GNSO table, obviously not this week, but a longer range thing. And because of time, we might not want to go into it now, but ask the policy committee to look at it, is some proposal for a recommendation that we not force registrars to break laws so I don't know. But yes, Mark, please.
I'm not sure about Europe, but in the United States, and there may be something similar in European law, you could initiate a lawsuit for declaratory judgment to ask a court to basically make a legal opinion on a situation. And I would think that ICANN could bring that on their own without having to wait for somebody to sue a registrar, but just to have ICANN ask a court to make a determination of law and speed up the process. And maybe we should encourage ICANN to do something like that.
Perhaps we should. We'd have to see how the GAC and others felt about them doing that, but that would be interesting. Anything else on this issue before moving on? Okay. So really, though, what we're going to look at, to sum up what I think I heard, is we'll send it to the policy committee and think about whether there's any motion, action, whether it's declaratory judgment?
Yes.
I'm just trying to get the right word.
It's not an action where somebody sues somebody. Traditionally, there's sometimes it's almost like an advisory position, okay. You know, where you're asking the court just to make an interpretation of what does the law mean. It's a little bit unusual compared to what most people think of, but I believe would be a procedure for doing that.
So we'll ask the policy committee to look at that and look at whether there's any other possible motion that they want to suggest to the GNSO. But in terms of anything else, I guess it's just individuals writing in their favorite media to comment on this as they might. Okay. The next one, I'll give a quick review of what's happened. You've seen the letter. There's basically been a proposed letter that was initiated by the intellectual property people, specifically Amazon people within intellectual property, to say, what ho, GAC, you have overreached in picking winners and losers in the new GTLD competition, and we don't think the GAC should overreach like that. I've been communicating with them. We've had some initial discussions on the list. I spoke to them earlier today. I gave them initial feedback. The initial feedback I gave them was, I'm not sure that we'll support that, that we certainly support the notion that GAC has overreached in terms of geographical names. I don't think there's been a lot of discussion about that. That we're having difficulty separating, though, this issue at the moment between geographical names and the whole open and closed GTLD issue, which we are split on as a stakeholder group. In fact, that's why we have the session that Bill was talking about earlier. To discuss that tomorrow, because we are split on that, and also just noting that various people in the NCSG had noted with interest and curiosity and perhaps irony the fact that the APC, which had woken the GAC giant as to their power on various IP issues, IGO and INGO issues and such, that all of a sudden the giant turned around and swatted them. And we had noted that with some irony, but we have sympathy because we don't like to see the GAC overreach. So I've basically said I don't think we'll end up supporting this as a group, but we hadn't talked about it as a group, so that's why it's on the agenda. Do we want to leave it as it is, that sort of says, you know, good for you guys, put together the support motion, but we're not signing on to it? Or do we want to talk further? Do we want to support it? What do we do? If we do nothing, then we stay where we are. They do a statement, and then we as individuals can certainly get up in the forum and say, that's right, or we can say what I just said, you know. Or do we want to, as a stakeholder group, say we support it? Yes.
Yeah, quickly, I in principle agree with what you proposed, maybe only eliminating the irony part.
You don't think we should point that out in public, huh? Ah, shucks. I'm kidding. Okay, any other comments? So I'm taking it. Yes, please.
Sorry, my name is Remy Mwake. I'm from NIRA, Nigeria International Education Association. I also work for Digital Sense. My apologies for joining in late. I think I have to second what he just commented on. We have to be very careful about that, because there are certain precedents you may set, and then subsequently it may not be too good for the group.
I can't hear him.
I said there may be certain precedents you may set. It may not be too good for the group in later on. So I second his motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, yes.
Just to make sure, I am supporting the idea of the GAC does not overreach, and also I agree that this specific letter, we don't have consensus.
Right. Okay. Right. So what we could do is actually say that at the end, or for example, I could get up in the line and say, NCSG discussed the letter. We support the notion that GAC must not overreach, but we were not able to reach consensus on supporting this specific letter, and I do not mention the fact of irony. Right.
Agreed.
Okay. Thank you. Anything further on this issue? Okay. Next thing is the expert working group draft evaluation. I think it's critical that we get an opinion in a comment in. I don't know if anybody remembers what the date is for August 12th. So, do we have volunteers to work on a first draft? Great, that's one, that's two, and I'll work on it somewhat, but I'm way overloaded. But
and I'm not speaking in the name of Kathy, but I'm sure.
You're right, I'm sure.
Because we've been conspiring.
Right. Okay, good. So we have at least three people working on a draft. Can I ask that you try and give us a draft at least a week or so before? Right. Before the deadline, so that we have a chance to do it. Okay, anything else on that? So we've got three people working on it, and we have an old tradition that it's perfectly fine to volunteer people who aren't at a meeting for tasks. It's that if you're not here, you can always be volunteered for things. So it's fine to volunteer, Kathy. That's an old tradition.
Listen, Marie-Laure speaking.
Okay, and Cintra as well.
Cintra as well. Just for the record, Paul Kathy is so upset about and worried about this report that she woke up at 4 in the morning so that she could hear us with the EWG. So she's really committed to, you know.
Yes,
it,
yes.
Know
I got a few emails from Kathy over the last 24 hours that made that point quite pointedly. Okay. Anything else on that? Anything else on policy issues other than the ones that are already listed for the board? Now, in which case, we'll move on. Okay, Section 3. This was the one we were going to talk about, the nominating committee, but this is the one where if you wanted to talk about I forgot what it is. I've been talking so much, my mind's gone blank. The round table, the CEO round table with NGOs.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is Rob Hogarth from ICANN staff. I wanted to raise the issue in the broader NCSG. The concept is, I believe, one that was introduced around the Beijing meeting. Primarily by Robin and other parties from the NCSG, from your group, to seek out ICANN senior executives, Fadi in particular, for a roundtable discussion similar to the type of discussions he's had with other members of the community. I reached out and have had some discussions with Bill via email, with Marie-Laure via telephone, and wanted to tee up, at least for this group, and some brainstorming discussions about potential timetables when that type of event could take place later this calendar year. I think Fadi's original hope was that we might be able to pull something off between Beijing and Durban, but clearly there were activities in the community that were preventing that from coming off from a scheduling perspective. And so now really from a staff perspective, my goal is to be able to target or at least get some general idea about what some good timetable might be for this type of event or potentially series of events over time. The concept is simply one that, from a senior executive standpoint, there's an interest and a desire to continue the dialogue with community members. The fact that we had an intersessional meeting back in January of this year in Los Angeles prompted some additional value, I think, on Fadi's part of having these types of limited roundtable discussions. And when I say limited, I mean about 20 people. Along with ICANN senior executives, to talk about issues that are of importance to this community, in particular to civil society. And the concept or idea is to at least have an initial organizational meeting of this type of concept, see if it works, identify thoughts and opportunities, how future dialogues could take place. And so, again, the critical aspect from my perspective is to begin to narrow down what the timetable and potential location for that type of get-together would be. There are other issues about what the agenda would be, who could participate, and we reached out to the constituency leaders and Robin in her position as the NCSG chair to provide us with some specific guidance on that. So that's, I mean, essentially teeing up the issue, Aubrey.
Thank you. Any comments? Yes, please.
Translated allegedly for the transcript. I just want to ask, Rob, are you planning since, like, for example, NCUC is having this organized forum, including MPOC in Bali, are you planning to do anything around October before Bali?
This is Rob Hogarth. There's actually nothing planned at the moment. At this stage, we're really trying to identify what sort of windows of opportunity there are. The Bali gathering may be one of those windows of opportunity. For those of you not familiar with the roundtable concept, it's essentially a half-day program where Fadi gets together with senior members of various parts of the community to just talk generally about where is ICANN going, what are the important issues that are critical importance to the community that he's talking to. Obviously, it's a different sort of structure or hierarchy on a civil society perspective than it is with the ISPs, where, for example, the structure there was, let me pick the highest senior executive of some of the biggest ISPs around the world to have a conversation, to combine internal ICANN knowledge with new parties who might be prospective members of the community. There was a different structure in that you could pretty much do the research and do the numbers and say, okay, I, Fadi, want 5 of the top 10 or something like that. Civil society is a different community makeup. You've got a number of different communities and players, and hence the outreach to Bill and at the time Alain and to Robin to really just help us understand how would we begin to approach that? What would be a fair way to identify people? How do we get the right mix? When you're acknowledging that from meeting to meeting, you're only talking about 20 people. So, I mean, it's a much more diverse community, much more challenges in terms of who to bring together initially, and then over time.
Thank you. Anyone else want to come? Yes, Bill.
So I'm looking at the long... Sorry?
Name, please. We're supposed to give our names.
Name, please.
At the beginning of every interaction.
Bill Drake. I'm looking at the chain of mail that we exchanged on this back in May about the timing and location. And I don't really know about other people what their parameters are. So it'd be, I mean, maybe we can use this opportunity to find that out. It just seems to me that October and November get really dense with Bali and Buenos Aires. Adding another, if we're flying to LA from all over the world, for a lot of us, that's a long trip with takes several days each way when you add everything up. And my a priori would be maybe later in the year, but if Fadi is eager to get this conversation going, which is sort of what I was inferring from you last time, that might not be sufficient. So I'm just curious. I'm looking at my account. I mean, I'm totally screwed, like, in the near term. September is terrible. So I'm just wondering what other people's parameters are.
Okay. Yes.
From your description, it didn't sound to me like it's a conversation so much as Fadi doing one of his presentations. And I'm not, to me, what really needs to happen is that Fadi understands more clearly the needs of the non-commercial community. And that doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
Thank you. Yes.
Actually, from the conversation I had with Rob, it is actually the format is supposed to be a conversation, and that's the impression I got when we discussed the issue and Rob explained to me, and I pretty much I'm sorry, I liked the idea of having one or two people from, let's say, NPOC or NCUC plus experts that we would pick, external experts that we would pick from our membership, not necessarily all executive committee members, but from our membership or external NGOs or other institutions where we think that could be useful, their advice could be useful, and bring them on. That I understand was the spirit of the activity. Regarding what Bill was saying about the place and date and location and date, also one of the things we discussed is that we could do a pre-event, pre-IGF, if I remember well, or pre-ICANN activity, one-day activity. Could be so we wouldn't have to fly somewhere. So if it could be before, you know, the Friday or Thursday before Argentina or IGF, so we'd avoid us or whoever is going to go to fly around and spend more time doing this.
Thank you. This is Avery again. And by the way, I neglected to interrupt either of you when you were starting to give your name. My fault. We need to do that. One question I have, and Rob, I know you had your hand up, but I wanted to give you one more question before you spoke. Given the, when it's been CEOs of companies, those are people that have bags of money to be able to do these things, whereas when NGOs do these things, often they're relying on contributions, and contributions are iffy to spend them to go to Bali for a discussion with the CEO of ICANN. Great idea. I totally support it. I'm not being critical. But is there any notion of funding in all of this, or are these NGOs expected to get themselves there because talking to ICANN is that important to them?
This is Rob Hogarth. Part of the planning did include the concept of travel funding. Obviously, if ICANN's taking on some of that, that increases the interest in being able to combine it with some other industry event. We were able to prove with the intersessional meeting in January of this year that we had the capability to control the costs and I think give some comfort level to management that we could do those in a cost-effective way. Again, the concept here is to, I think to your point earlier, is to really learn. I think that's what was the driving force of this concept and idea. It's a recognition, I think, that from ICANN's perspective, the newer management really needed to learn more. And I think that will come out in the agenda preparation and really a discussion about, you know, what do we have time for? What available topics make the most sense given a potentially very diverse group of people. From a staff recommendation perspective, I think a number of us were looking at this as the beginning of a future series of meetings that might turn into, oh, the CEO of ICANN is going to the continent of of Australia, and he's going to be in a certain city, and we know 3 months in advance, and you don't have to fly people in all, from all over the world. It's just people gather together. The original concept was to combine internal leadership and others, and if not leaders, but at least experts, people comfortable with ICANN and its background, combining with some newer people that you all might have identified as prospective recruits, people who are just notable in the community, who can provide good perspectives, and get them together to just talk about the general concept and the idea, while at the same time providing some opportunity for education, issue spotting, if not issue resolution.
Thank you. I have Ponsolet and then Wolfgang.
Hello, Ponsolet for this transcript. I just wanted to, based on the what Bill said, especially with the dates, it looks very. I've tried to look at the calendar, and it looks very impossible between now and December, except something happens in Bali, and of course with Buenos Aires meeting, there will be is obviously a full blown ICANN meeting. But when I look at what happened when we had the intersessional genesis in Los Angeles, the dates was quite flexible, ending of January. And I want to do, although it was very hectic flying for just 2 days, like for me from Africa down to Los Angeles and back, and I'm thinking what when you look at, you have the office space in LA to do those sort of small meetings, focus specific, can that also happen in the new hubs, especially in Istanbul, especially now that David Olive, who is in policy, is going to be heading the Istanbul office? So if you're going to be having those, it's easy if you want to pull Bill from Switzerland down to Istanbul and him going to LA. So I don't know whether you're going to look at that modalities in your planning. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I didn't assume that it was necessarily us. I thought they were actually looking for the people that weren't. I mean, it may include some of us. I've noticed when you had, you know, some of the registrar CEOs, you had some of the regulars, and then you had some of the people that never show. So I'm not assuming that it's primarily us that they're talking to, though it would be lovely for us to talk to Thadi at some point. I don't know that we ever have. But in general, I think they were actually looking for, you know, the executive directors that we haven't managed to get to communicate to Fadi. Although, of course, as I say, we've never communicated with Fadi. So I have Wolfgang, and then then Bill. Anyone else? I'd like to actually close this one so that we can get to the board one, and we'll continue talking. So I have Wolfgang, I have Bill, and then I'd like to give you the last word, Rob, so that we can then thought if you can also tell us how we'll follow through with this.
Yeah, Wolfgang Kleinwächter. First of all, I think basically it's a good idea to enhance communication among ICANN leadership and an important part of the stakeholder group, which is the civil society. It's also very adequate, you know, to approach first the non-commercial stakeholder group, because this is one important home of civil society within ICANN, so it makes sense. Anyhow, Mike, problem is that what is the intention of Fadi or the ICANN leadership? Do they want to talk specifically with communities and organizations who are already deep involved in ICANN, or once they have to more a more general civil society perspective around the issue? In the previous meeting we had with the Governmental Advisory Committee, the two co-chairs of the GAC said, okay, for them it's sometimes also a little bit problematic to locate where is civil society within the ICANN structure. Is it at large, or is this the NCUC? And so the question is, you know, what is the plan? To whom you really want to talk? Is the non-commercial stakeholder group just, you know, one, let's say, smaller element in the so-called 20, group of 20 you want to invite? Or is it basically, you know, this group? To let you know, we have a discussion since a couple of days or weeks, you know, how to enhance communication between the various civil society units within ICANN. We will have tomorrow a joint meeting with the at large advisory committee, and you know there is a plan to have a summit in London in June, where more or less the role of civil society, the end user, the individual user, you know, will be the subject of discussion, and we will certainly have something to develop until this London summit meeting. And in my eyes, it would make perfectly sense to, if you plan such a meeting, to put this into the process on the road to London and to say, okay, this could be an additional element which would both enable Fadi and the ICANN leadership to get a better feeling on the fingertips, you know, what the civil society in internet governance and in particular in ICANN wants to, you know, do. And on the other hand, it would also enable these various groups of the civil society to be better prepared on the way to London and to come with very concrete proposals. One of the discussion points, just to let you know, is probably that we establish, that we propose the launching of a so-called civil society sector within the ICANN structure. This would mean not to abolish the existing units. That means that large advisory committee, Midralos, and at large structures continue. The non-commercial stakeholder group with its two constituents continue. Probably new emerging civil society groups on the, from the new GTLD program can also emerge. If you have GTLDs which are more community-based and define themselves as part of the civil society. So then it would make sense to have, let's say, a civil society sector with a coordination committee where all the various civil society groups are working together, and this could be used as a mechanism, an instrument, I would not say to harmonize, but to come with certain strategic directions, you know, how this could be integrated. So this is needs more time. That's a fresh idea, and we are moving forward with the discussion of this idea. Tomorrow will be a first step when we have the meeting with the chair of the large advisory committee. And in so far, you know, I would not rush for such a meeting and to say, you know, it has to be done here and now. So that means if it's in January or February, so that would be fine. And I think you plan in the financial year not from January to December, but from June to July. Or, so, yeah, so that means then probably January is a better better date for such a meeting. And by the way, Istanbul, it could be a test. You know, why not to do it there?
Thank you. Bill, you had another brief comment to make, please? We don't have that much time left.
Okay. Yes, I just, I had understood that we've, a lot of the things that people are asking about, we talked back and forth quite a lot, and all these emails were shared with people who were asking the questions. The agreement, as I understood, was that there were going to be 9 community members and 8 to 11 new people brought in from the outside, some kind of a mix like that. And I had the impression that you had a preference for LA because of the facilities and so on. I think personally it'd be a disaster to try to do it before the IGF. Before the IGF, there are so many pre-events already, days and days and days of pre-events. And flying everybody to Bali is kind of insane. If you really wanted to do it for a day prior to Buenos Aires, that might work, but otherwise, my argument would be I would rather wait until December, January. And I think when people are clear of the cycle, we're in a cycle now, it's just a really thick period. You know how we all live. We're all flying around the world going to meetings, and everybody's got stuff lined up, and their calendar's blocked out, so it's just... And we don't even know if you're trying to get leadership from other large NGOs that are not involved in this space. They're probably very busy too, so it could take a while to really pull this together, you know.
Thank you. Rob, if you'd like a closing word on this one.
Yes, thanks, and I appreciate the time that you spent talking about this. I didn't anticipate this long a discussion, but I think it's been very helpful. What I'm hearing is a timetable in the January to February time period, not limited to a location of Los Angeles, but ideally perhaps utilizing one of the hub spaces as well. What I'd like to suggest for next steps is that, again, working with Marie-Laure, with Bill, and with Robin or whoever the new NCSG chair is to nail down that time period. I would really like to have that date picked now. appreciate too that I think the concept of the first meeting is to address a lot of the questions and points that you all have been raising. It's potentially to look at what this is and not to look at it as an end product, but a beginning product for the discussions to say, this is the first time we're doing this. Let's set out what we could do in the future. So if we take that perspective to it, I will follow up in the next week or so after Durban with Bill, Marie-Laure, with Robin or her designate, so that we have some continuity going forward. It might be a good idea to designate somebody. And then we can continue that planning with an eye toward nailing down a time by the end of August.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. One thing I wanted to point out, there was a comment from Robin on the EWG issue. She plans to request a webinar call on EWG in the next, as she says, couple of weeks. It would have to be real soon. But anyhow, so be ready to talk with them. Read the reports. So for those of us that haven't read it yet, please read it. Okay, now we go to preparing for the board meeting with the board, which is in less than half an hour. We should probably leave here at 25 minutes after the hour or thereabout. Plan on that so that we can actually be there when it starts. So, David, I'd like to turn it to you since you said you guys already talked about it, and especially you already have the names of the people who will start off the discussion, because that's critical.
Well, the first thing was we discuss changing the order of these things in which we talk about them. So I'm not quite sure whether to go through the order.
Go through them in the order that you think we should go through them.
Well, the thing about that is we actually discussed at the policy committee meeting, no one was that interested in the 1A, preserving ICANN's commitment to the bottom-up community-led model. Presented in that form, we felt that we weren't going to get a good reaction from the board unless it was much more specific.
In other words, it's another one of those apple pie issues.
Yes,
they'll
the board
say, yes,
will,
we're committed.
Exactly.
Next.
We felt the board would say, we are committed to the bottom-up model, and we all go, yay, that's great. And continue to be as sceptical about what that means operationally. Okay. We needed to give them an operational question, basically.
So stopping you on that one for a second, so that means if we get to that one, it would be sufficient for me to say we're interested in the topic, but we're afraid it's not specific enough. We'd like to continue on something else?
Yes.
Sorry, David, just to interrupt. David, didn't we discuss just reversing the order?
Yes.
Yes, that's what he's getting
about to do.
Thank you.
So in the order, I think we thought... the review and restructuring one probably would be a good one to lead with.
Review and restructuring.
Clarification of the board's direction.
Okay, wait a second. Oh, so one is review and GNSO review and restructuring. Two is?
The outreach issue.
Really?
No, I'm not sure.
Two. Okay. No. Well, let's get this order from them
we can certainly
let's
change the order.
Let's not spend a lot of time talking
yes.
about order. Let's get
the
to
article,
content.
Then the Article 29... then reconsideration, then censorship and GAC safeguards.
Okay.
I'm just going to briefly say comments from the policy committee meeting on each of these. The review and...
And name of leader of the discussion.
Yes, now the review and restructuring one. Marie-Laure, you weren't there? You weren't there at the policy committee meeting, but we noted that you put this issue of the review and restructuring on the agenda, so we wanted to ask you if you would like to speak to it.
Right. In other words, the way these board conversations start, basically we put the topic on the table and then we point to one of our kind and say, would you like, you know, please start the discussion. So then you bring up the first issues and then the discussion.
So we're not, Wolfgang also had offered to speak to it. So,
You don't want it.
You don't want it?
It's not that I don't want it, it's that I don't remember doing this.
Okay.
Did I? Are you sure? Are you sure I did it?
It's because you missed the meeting.
Sorry?
This was the meeting that we discussed on. This was the meeting on Monday, yeah? We had the NCSG meeting on Monday that discussed this.
Okay.
Didn't we?
No, we had it on.
Sorry.
We had a policy committee meeting
right.
on Sunday evening, Sunday it, afternoon.
Doing the rehash would be wonderful over a drink tonight, but.
Yeah. But if you don't particularly wish to address this issue, Wolfgang had agreed to take it.
Yes, please, Wolfgang. Okay. Wolfgang, I'd rather stay silent instead of saying something inappropriate.
The review and restructuring one, we felt this needed a bit more firming up on what was meant by it rather than just sort of... but I can't remember. Wolfgang, do you remember what we were going to say on this one?
Thank you.
Currently
Wolfgang.
On D.
Right. Basically, Wolfgang, just to give you a quick recap in case anyone else needed it, we are working on the preparation for the NCSD discussion. We decided that A was not something that we needed to cover, though if I needed to, I can make a quick comment.
Okay.
And then we talked about reordering these as you all in the policy committee decided to reorder them. Number one, which is called D there, is GNSO review, restructuring, clarification of board's directions, so as to align near-term efforts of SG and constituencies.
Yes.
Right, and so that's one where you'll take the lead on the discussion. Now, David had just said that there was a little bit more development needed on that, so briefly, is there something more that you wanted to say about shaping that discussion?
I think we probably you have seen there was just a mail that the GNSO review has been postponed, and the questions you know we should raise is what does it mean if so many new registries and registrars join the GNSO, and you know how the non-commercial interests you know will be saved in. More commercialized environment. And the question is also that we have seen now, it's not yet officially discussed, there are no official requests that, you know, some groups organize themselves and will ask for recognition as a constituency, probably in the contracting house. But, you know, what does it mean for the balance of the whole council between the houses and the stakeholder groups, so it would be good to get a view from the board what they think about, how they want to handle this.
Okay. Thank you. Rob, you wanted to quickly comment? You notice I'm using that word quickly a lot.
Thank you. Rob Hogarth from ICANN staff. I think that's a good approach, and you might want to target your questions to the chair of the Structural Improvements Committee for his perspective. We also have a spot for this subject on the agenda of the GNSO Council, but you'll have the player right there. So,
anything else on this issue before we move on? Yes, please.
Thanks, Albert. My name is Remy from NIRA. I'm just wondering, why are we not taking the CD, a development in inclusive outreach strategy, scaling participation in ICANN, as part of the discussion we intend to have with the directors? Because over time, I've discovered that, especially in this part of the world, as Africa now, when you ask people to go and join groups or ICANN constituencies, they always get some hurdles to cross to be able to be part of the community, while at the same time we are pushing multi-stakeholder system. It doesn't help, you know. It creates a lot of barrier for people to be part of the system or even know what is happening, because over time some of us may move on to some other groups or other assignments. We need people to also to back up for us. So I'm looking at...
It's not that we're not doing that one. It was just the second on the list.
Okay.
It was the second topic. All those topics except for A are on the active list. It's just that was number two. Okay.
Oops. I didn't have my microphone on. Sorry. What I said was it's not that we're not doing C. It's just that C was labeled as topic number two.
Yes. And we had decided Bill would volunteer to speak on that one. If anyone else wants to speak on that too, to lead on that one.
Yeah. The point is one person to lead, other people will then be given an opportunity to speak. Bill, was there anything you needed to add on that? Or
what we talked about in the PC meeting was whether we wanted to get into the question of how civil society is organized within ICANN and looking down the road and seeing whether the board has been thinking at all about this, because I've had very mixed conversations with board members on that topic. So, Wolfgang, if you want to lead with the bit that you started with about the registries and the evolution of the market and where all that, and then I can take the civil society part.
And can you include also the development aspect and the developmental economy aspect that Remy was bringing up? And put that into your introductory piece, and then that'll open it up for you to make further comments if you wish. Is that okay?
Where
number two is what's called C. There is the second item, development of an inclusive outreach strategy, scaling participation in ICANN, and that was the issue that you were going to be speaking to, right? According to David.
No, I thought I was.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were still talking about the GNSO review restructuring question.
Yes, I got that you thought we were still talking about that. Ben, we did discuss that point about the review restructuring, about how civil society is sort of siloed up and it confuses everybody and so on. Now moving on to the outreach strategy, I think you had said you were going to speak about outreach strategy.
I said I would be willing to, but, you know, to be quite honest, and this is the point I was trying to make before, and I wasn't talking about the order when I tried to intervene and you waved me off.
I didn't see you.
I would make this at most I would put it at the back end if there's time left. I find personally that there's very little point in trying to talk to the board about outreach. I've tried it over and over and over.
Perhaps, though, we just heard from Remy there that it's a critical issue.
I'd be happy to have Remy try and lead a conversation with the board about outreach. But
Would you like to take the lead on this topic?
Yeah, that's
great.
My problem.
Okay, great.
There we go.
Cross Bill out, put Remy in. Thank you.
Sorry, and I'm happy to back you up on that, Remy, and talk about the discussion we had earlier this morning in the NCUC about links to ICANN's offices that it's opening and, you know, various other things that it could connect with. So I'm happy to back you up on that one.
Thank you. Now, right. Yeah, as I say, the point is to find a lead person, and then we all come in and back up as the case may be. Fantastic.
Now, discussing the article, again, sorry about the confusion on the order, but the next one that on the speaking list was the Article 29. Now, Wolfgang had volunteered to speak to this one as well.
But that's for two things, then. Is there someone... Not that I want to take speaking roles away from you, but I'd kind of like to have a different person per... This is the second time you've been volunteered for something. Do you accept your volunteer?
And that's the second time I'm not listening, and I was trying to answer. Trying to answer to the last item, and I was preparing an answer to that.
So we're at F, which is item 3 in the order.
Yes, that's what I was working on right now.
And we were wondering whether you would like to take the lead on starting off that conversation.
Yes,
fantastic. Thank you.
May I ask something, because I was trying to organize my thoughts about that. Would you agree, because I was reading the quotes of the VIP, ICANN VIP, the answer to the gag yesterday, and the person said that ICANN considers that Article 29 is an authority, but not a legal authority. So and then that's the first argument, and the other one is that... that, and I quote, it actually has not been adopted into legislation by the EU. So I would have two questions, if you agree with that. The first one would be, I would like the board to explain to us what ICANN considers, the definition of a legal authority, you know, considering that Article 29 represents like the higher and major data protection authorities in 27 countries. And number two, explaining what it means that it has not been adopted into legislation. It's not very clear, so maybe they could clarify what they meant by this. That would be the two questions I could ask. I don't know whether you agree.
Sounds like a good place to start to me. Does anyone wish to... Yeah, sounds like, and then we can all, again, other people can come in with other content.
Because we could start, I would like to start with the actual quotes.
Yes,
that was,
sounds
you know,
good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting one, and the story, the issue has actually developed significantly since we had our policy committee meeting on Sunday, so we really did need
to. Right, the letter hadn't been out. Okay, Rudy, time check, 10 minutes left.
Very short, I will back up Marie-Laure, as I'm a European, and I'm really concerned
Okay, great. Okay, then you had number four.
Request for reconsideration. I'd volunteered to take the lead on this one. I'm happy to... I mean, I'm basically going to say that what I sort of said to the ATRT, that this is a... actually, using the request for reconsideration process, we were sort of stunned by how badly it went, and just asked the board both how they feel the process should work and does it need to be replaced. And also, I mean, sort of what happens to make it come out so badly, and how can we make sure that doesn't happen again? How do you think the process should work, and should we be reconsidering? What we should be doing about replacing this process, which clearly is not very satisfactory. I'm happy to hear anyone else's viewpoint on that, but
it sounds like a good way to start. Again, people can then come in with other arguments behind your conversation. Anything else on that? And then the last topic was the censorship issue.
Yeah, now I don't know who put this one on the list. So we felt that phrasing it in terms of censorship as a general sort of topic, again, it's one of those questions where the board is... it's not very because it's not very operationally phrased. The board will say, "Yes, we think censorship is terrible,"
and we don't censor.
And we don't censor and move on. Whereas, actually, what we really wanted to, I guess, I think the intention of this one was to talk about the many GAC safeguards and so on, and that we feel that there is, you know, a lot of potential for censorship and problems with free expression in the way the GAC advice. Expresses it, and what can we do basically to express that point of view forcefully? We didn't have someone lined up to take this one.
Anyone want to take it? Or I'm trying to point to Joy, but does anyone want to take it while Joy's deciding whether she wants to be pointed to?
No, I think I've done lots of talking at these meetings, and I think it's really great for someone else to do it.
Well, with the board meeting, we're looking for someone to lead, to start each of the discussions, so you would prefer
I'm happy to nominate Rafiq. That would be fine.
Okay, so we don't have... Rudy, are you putting your hand up sort of, maybe?
Yeah, I'm going to volunteer.
Thank you. Okay, so we've got Rudy on that one. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we've got another 6 minutes. So anything further that needs to be said on this? So I'll work with Steve to do a reordering. They have their own questions to ask of us, but I don't think we know what those are yet. Well, they know our questions first, but you know, they're the board.
They used to send them to us.
Yeah, well. Anything else? Or should we say that we've had an NCSG meeting and it was successful? Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. Grab some of the candy and meet you in room 6 at the end there, which gives us actually room to stop off at the bathrooms. Thank you very much. We're done.